This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
You know, it's just a light and breezy one tonight. You guys have been going through, you know, Matthew, and I get just a really easy topic known as the Transfiguration, you know, aka a very pivotal moment. So once again, no pressure on the theme, no pressure on the intro to come up and speak, and no pressure either that I accidentally, you know, did a full-blown, you know, deep dive and just went like total ADHD on this thing. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, it's like Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory with one of his equations. But really, I was like the guy with the hair out and his like tie half down. He's got like red string connecting all these weird things. And so look, half of you guys might leave and go, man, that was some good connections and reflections, and the other half are going to go home and go, what in the world is this? Like that weird uncle that like comes to Christmas and tries to tell us about the moon landing and like, and all of his theories. So we'll see how we go, but I've got to get something off my chest before we go into this thing, and a lot of it is based around where we're going with this. I've called this the reboot. And part of it is because I have to get this off my chest. And the other part is to get all the red strings down and rewrite this thing. I just needed a key word, and it's reboot. If you're like myself and you got to grow up in the greatest era known to human history, the 90s, you know, just after the 80s, 80s was warming up, but the 90s, man, oh, come on. And you know why the 90s is the bomb? Because they keep rebooting everything that was good in the 90s and trying to like remake it. So like taking some of like the best series or the best cartoon or the greatest family movies known to man and then rebooting it, aka ruining it. And I'll confess right now, if they try to redo the Goonies, which was, I mean, it was an 80s one, but in the 90s we still did it, I will take it upon myself to befriend Elon Musk, go undercover, find out all of his likes and dislikes to a point that he trusts me enough to send me off the planet in one of his things, because the Goonies was just, bro, you can't reboot that. And it's not just like, you know, pop culture stuff either. If you're like my wife and you're into like, you know, Emma and Pride and Prejudice and all that, they're rebooting that. People don't know how to have new ideas. And it's just destroyed me. But there is one thing that it's not been so much rebooted, but they just keep the franchise going and going and going, and it's Jurassic Park. Anyone here below the age of shiny head seen the original Jurassic Park, like the first one? Yes, thank you. Your head is not shiny. You have lovely hair. There's this moment in that no matter how good special effects become, no matter how many times they try to show that these people who are meant to be really smart scientists are dumb enough to continue the same mistakes and risk people's lives for dinosaurs, they can never create this moment. And there's this moment in the original that absolutely drives home. And so you've got this guy who spent his entire life studying, sweeping dust off of bones, trying to understand these prehistoric creatures. And the moment comes where he's taken to this place and told he's going to see something amazing. And for the first time, he sees this like an actual dinosaur. This thing has dedicated his whole life into trying to be the most knowledgeable, trying to understand everything, making very educated guesses based off dusting things and comparing them to turkeys. And he sees this thing in its fullest form. And the face that he makes is just this like penny drop moment. And there's no matter how they reboot this thing, that moment is an incredible cinematic picture. But this passage that we're going into today is like the most amazing reboot of a few things, which we're going to get into in the Transfig. So a little bit of context. The disciples have been following Jesus for a while, starting to see some cool stuff happen, finally starting to grasp the gravity of what's going on. Things starting to heat up. They've been participating in things. They're seeing opposition. Jesus drops a massive bombshell and lets them know the reality. He predicts his own death. And that goes down like a lead balloon to some of them. And then after this moment where he shares with them, hey, look, this is wonderful, but this is what it's leading towards. We get to this point here where a few days have passed, 6 days have passed, and he comes up to the disciples. Oh, we've got it. Hey, big ups to, it's Sophie, right? Let's hear it for Sophie. Yes, I did the like last minute. Hey, can you put this up on the screen? And he goes up and basically, Peter, James, John, let's go, come with me kind of thing. And this is like the situation. When these three dudes are there, something's going to go down. And I picture these, you know, these disciples are like kind of stewing on this big news that he's dropped on them. And then all of a sudden he's invited three of them to kind of wander off. And it would be pretty awkward. And so, you know, it's going to be a big deal. Something massive is about to go down. And if you want to follow on the screen there, we're in Matthew 7, if you've got your digital version or your analog. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Whew. That's light and breezy passage tonight. Yes. Well, the disciples got to see a pretty serious reboot moment here. First of all, they got to see Christ in this state of full glory, kind of like that archaeologist. Is that what you call? What do you call a paleontologist? A paleoanthropologist. That's when they dig up stuff and try to tell you what type of bowl people ate their grains out of. Yeah, they get to see him in his fullest form. Moses and Elijah present with him, but all reminiscent. Of moments where God revealed himself. To see Jesus in his fullest form with a representative of the law and a representative of the prophets, and then to follow up to have the Father himself audibly speak to them, crazy. But the things that pop into the mind that are reminiscent, the amount of parallel scene that it's like with Moses going up to the mountain, that it's like with Elijah's mountaintop experience, that it's like for some of these guys at a very pivotal moment in their journey. And so, Craig, you'll be happy to know that this one writes itself. Three figures, three mountaintops, three moments, three reflections, three reboots, 3 points. for a sermon. Isn't that beautiful? This thing writes itself, bro. When God reveals himself and brings conviction. In the first four verses, I want to read that again. So after the 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Let's take a look at Moses. The connections between this is crazy. Moses has this moment where he's called up to meet face to face with God on a mountain. His face was radiant after he experienced God. He took a bunch of people with him, but three were by name. It was 6 days after something pretty heavy. Clouds enveloped. The connections between this is crazy. So the disciples get this reboot moment. Like, if you can get your brain outside of what they've just seen and experienced, seeing Moses there physically and then thinking the connections is crazy. This is the stuff we've read about. This is the stuff we were forced to memorize as a child until we didn't get a rabbi and then we started fishing, which is awesome. And now they've got a rabbi again and they get to see the fullness of him in connection. And then Peter just like, oh, I better jump in on this situation. And he's like, it's really good for us to be here. If you want, I'll build us some shelters. And it's interesting, like, hearing people's opinions on this one, like different reflections on why it is. And, you know, Peter gets a bad rap a lot because they're like, oh, you know, he did this and then he fell because he didn't have enough faith. He went in the water or he spoke out a turn here and this and that. But I love Peter because, like, at least he gives it a go. Like, half of these dudes just, like, their name's not even mentioned. At least he gives it a crack. And sometimes it backfires. Like, two times before this, if you flick back a little bit, he confessed that Jesus is the Christ. He spoke out, took a shot, and actually got it. And then before this, Jesus predicts his death, and he's like, speaks up again, and Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. Like, he can't win. Anyway, and this moment comes, and Peter speaks up. And a lot of people have different reflections on that. Some are like, I heard someone say, you know, when something like massive happens, you just default to what you know. And I'm like, that's kind of like basically comparing Peter to my Nana right now. You know, when something heavy gets dropped, her first thing is, you know, I'm going to go put on the kettle. This is like the Peter Burley, you know, Matt's here. It's like Matt Limo, you know, I'm going to build something. This is awkward. I'm going to build something. But there's a lot to it. He's offered something here. If you connect it to Moses, if anyone here, this is a good quiz time. Right after Moses comes down from his mountaintop experience and does the law and all that stuff, what's the very next thing that we have a big chunk of them doing? And it's an enthralling read. If you're an engineer, you'd probably love it. Tabernacle. Imagine that. A place for God to dwell amongst his people. Maybe Peter wasn't just taking a shot in the dark. Maybe he's like, this is a good place for us to be. Let's give a dwelling place for these people, for these figures amongst our people. And he's like, I love this. Like, while he's saying it, God's like, whoa, you know, start speaking. Then they're all like, which is acting. But he gave it a go. But maybe Peter knew something, you know. Or maybe there's a lot of things behind it. But either way, this moment brings to mind, when God reveals himself, it brings conviction. With Moses on that mountaintop, he introduced law. He introduced liberty. He introduced what it looks like to actually be a people. Something that we read from our lens of the world thinking, man, these rules are crazy. But something that was beautiful to the people sitting down hearing this for the first time. To finally go, we've been brought out of slavery. We're not in the best situation, but we have our own laws now. We can function as our own people, our own society. Our value is not based on how many bricks we make for Egypt. Our value is now on who we are, our identity, and now we have laws that even put things in place to take care of people who need it. Like, it's beautiful, but there's conviction in it. Like, it's just, so you know, I don't like go around grabbing random year 10 people and like taking them to dangerous spots for a hobby. But it was a big turning point. And the funny thing is, I bumped into Matt last night at a wedding, and he was sharing about that that moment. And it was this moment of conviction where someone who's had a context of growing up with a faith in a certain space, then being put in a situation where something speaks to them and becomes real, and then there's this conviction that this is my faith now. This isn't something that I was just born into. I go because I don't want to upset grandma. This is, God is real. God's revealed himself in that. For me, a massive thing, like very recently actually, where I get to see this conviction where God reveals himself. Every November, I get to play a part in a conference. And it's a hip-hop conference, and it is a space for people who have a faith and are within the hip-hop culture to get together and really create a space where they're free to actually belong to something. And this year, I don't know why, but for some reason, so many people turned up that had recently had this moment where God's revealed themselves to him in some way, and it's just convicted them to change. Like, and I'm not talking like a little attitude shift. I mean, like, some guys coming straight out of prison, straight out of rehab, and then turning up and sharing their testimonies. And it was powerful. And there were some people that turned up who are now adults that I had journeyed with in their early teenage years that were not in a good way, that I hadn't heard from in years, that somehow saved up some money, came from, you know, another state to be there, and to come in this space and share, hey, since we've last seen each other, I've been clean, I went and got baptized, I got in the Bible, I've just been connecting with God, and at this particular moment, I feel like I finally experienced God and saw, it became real, and that conviction was nuts. I had this one guy, I'm making a music project with him at the moment, which is all testimonial stuff. And this guy, man, this moment where God revealed himself to him was like massive conviction. At the time, he was actually convicted. He was in prison. And his auntie came, gave him this book, and he figured he'd give it a read. And his cellmate wakes up, and he's a big dude too. Here's this big dude crying in their cell, and he's like, what's going on, bro? And he's bawling his eyes out. He's like, you got to hear this, man. And starts like reading this book and then preaching the gospel to his cellmate. And then he starts crying. And then you've got these two massive, like heavy dudes breaking down in tears because God's revealed himself to them in that way. I've got to get the name of that book, actually. Far out. Anyway, and next thing you know, they come out and they're just like, that conviction was so strong. It's nuts. Next chunk. Let's do this. Point two, when God reveals himself, he brings compassion. We'll jump ahead here to the last three verses, right? The disciples asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah's already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man's going to suffer at their hands. And then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. So this other figure that Jesus is speaking with in this moment is Elijah, representing the prophets, talking with Jesus. Reboot via John the Baptist recently. The disciples are here still feeling the sting of the fact that Jesus has just mentioned how this journey is going to end physically. Still feeling the sting of John the Baptist's death, which happened recently. And then seeing this Elijah figure there, who also had a moment on the mountaintop where God revealed himself. This is homework, by the way. Go to 1 Kings 19 and surrounding chapters. Like, Elijah's journey is crazy. Actually, he does some cool stuff, man. But this one in particular, in the lead up to this, Elijah's like at the end of his road. So much stuff has gone down, a lot of drama, and to a point where he's just like, God, just kill me now. I'm done. And he gets this, different situations happen, and he's told, go up to the mountain and wait there for God. He's going to reveal himself to you. So watch out for him passing by. So he's fleeing for his life pretty much, and he sits in this cave and he's waiting for God to pass by. And then this wind comes. It's like crazy. God's not in it. An earthquake happens outside. Nothing's in it. A fire comes shifting through. Doesn't feel right. God's not in it. And then this gentle whisper comes past. And that's when he knows that God's about to pass by and covers his face. And he comes out to see where God's going to reveal himself. And I think for the disciples, seeing that in the moment they're in with the stuff they're wrestling with, but thinking back to this passage, and for us, reflecting on that, God revealing himself and bringing compassion. We often have this mountaintop experience idea that the feeling I had at that youth camp, or the feeling I get at this conference, or that big ticket item, that's the feeling of where I connect with God. That's my mountaintop experience. But even in the cave, even at the end of the road, at the lowest point, God reveals himself, but not in the big stuff. He's passing by, and it's a gentle whisper. And when he's ready, he comes out of that cave to take part in that. And then God compassionately shows him the road forward. What's next? Much like that conviction time for me and my journey, for you, for these guys that I mentioned. For me personally, I've got so many examples of, you know, the fun stories where you really, God reveals himself and there's this conviction, there's this big turnaround. But more recently and more raw right now, so many people, I mean, oh, we talked a while ago, especially during COVID, about that corridor period, that limbo in between seasons of life. But man, for me, in recent years, getting to the end of what you think you had the capacity to do, getting to a point where you're just over everything. So many people in this room have probably experienced getting to a point where the passion's dried up, the direction you thought you were going to go, the relationship, the job opportunity, the mental health, and just gone, I just couldn't be bothered getting out of bed right now. I want to stay in my cave. When's God going to turn up? When's that mountaintop experience like I had at youth camp? And maybe God's passing by in that quiet moment. And when you're ready to step out of that cave, that compassion to be able to give things another go, to have that path forward, that reboot, that second chance. That's crazy. For me, very recently, I felt like God was passing by again and took a step out of that cave. Because I tell you what, if you've ever wrestled in the depths, it's very comfortable to just want to stay in the cave. Let the world be the world, like, for real. That's a beautiful moment. And to see Elijah appearing with Jesus, God reveals himself and brings completion. I'll read that middle chunk again. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, or tents, or tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. This ultimate reboot moment. You've got Moses representing the law. You've got Elijah representing the prophets. You've got the Father saying, "This is my son," so on, which is a reboot of the baptism. When he was baptized, he said that, which is a reboot of some messianic passages. If we don't need to go down that road, that's when the red strings start to come out. To the disciples, it's like this completion. Everything we've heard about, everything we've read about, everything we've been waiting for, what we forget is it's one page to turn, unless you've got a commentary, from Old Testament to New Testament. But these guys have been waiting hundreds of years of quiet. When's God turning up? How did we go from his people and all this stuff to we're waiting? And now we're under the Romans. Same stuff, different day. This moment of completion, that this part of the plan is finally going to come to pass, and these guys have been invited to take a part in it. That's the Jurassic Park moment. And for us, this guy, this is the same rabbi. This is the same guy we follow. This is the same guy we've been called to partner with and to journey with and to ultimately reflect in our lives. So for these guys to see him in all that glory and go, this is the guy that chose me to follow him. This is the guy that invited me. Like, what does that mean for us? This is the same God. This is the same God that parted the seas and brought his people across. How could he not free you from the things that hold you captive? This is the same God who's speaking, saying, "This is my son." He's fulfilling the law, the prophet. All of this stuff is coming into fruition. That same God, how could he not be the one to help you overcome that habit? How could he not help in that situation, whatever the outcome, with that relationship or with that mending that needs to happen? That's the same God that we follow. The absolute boost of confidence these guys would get from here, even though the end isn't good, starting to get the picture for some of them, the gravity of who they follow. I think for us, it's so hard to not see the books and the dust and the dry bones sometimes, and to remember that this is that same God that we follow, and he is the Son of the living God. Crazy. How long since you've seen paper? No iPad, bro. Ultimate reboot. And some of these moments may be a reboot for ways that God reveals himself in your life. So I don't know where your journey's at the moment. I don't know what part of that speaks to you, whether recently or whether soon. You need to look at those spaces where God might be revealing himself so that you can get that conviction again. Do you know what was really, it was super encouraging bumping into some of those fellas, but at the same time it was bittersweet, because I left that weekend after meeting those fellas, like, one, pumped, but two, I was like, bro, I remember being that passionate. I remember being willing to throw everything away and go all in. I remember being that convicted. Maybe you've spent some time in that cave and God's going to reveal himself to you, or through his word, you're going to see some stuff and see that compassion. Do you want to know something really beautiful about that? There are so many people in our community, maybe even some of us in this room, who have to wrestle with that mental health stuff. One of the few things that that Elijah asked of God was, just end me. I couldn't be bothered with life anymore. You want to know something beautiful? At the end of his journey, Elijah never got to taste death. When it was his time to go, God just brought him home. The one thing that he thought he wanted in his lowest, he never had to experience. How beautiful is that? That God has that level of compassion for people who have battled with that stuff. Or maybe for you, it's a completion, where all of the things in your journey that didn't make sense are about to come into fruition, and hopefully you can start to see where God wants you alongside him, to follow that rabbi. So I really hope that, like the disciples seeing Jesus in his fullness, that this year for you guys, myself, has moments where God reveals himself to us and we're ready to see that and take that on and not have expectations of what it's supposed to look like and get that level of, insert verb here, back. So, the Christ in that story is the same guy that we follow. And I'm hoping that this is a bit of a reboot moment and not a dodgy one. Like, anyway, I really hope that for you guys this year is a bit of a reboot. Like, I can't be the only one here that's had a bit of a rough trot over the last few years. Everything was turned upside down for everybody. And I think it's put us in a position now where so many people I talk to are like, I know what I need to do now. This is my next chapter. This is my next season. 2024, you know, everyone was like, I got 2020 vision. There's so many 2024 rhymes now. And I really hope that for you. So I'd love to pray. If you guys want to bow your heads and close your eyes, if you feel that you are in desperate need of coming into a space again where you can connect with God at that level where you can feel that conviction, if you're at a space where you're ready to give things another go and you're ready to experience that level of compassion that the Father has and see where he wants to reveal to you what your next steps are, or if you're at a point where you're ready to see that completion, to see the fulfillment of the things that God's put in place that haven't so much made sense yet but are ready, if you're comfortable, raise your hand. You don't have to. Love to pray specifically seeing you, but if not, that's all good. Father God, we want to come before you right now and thank you for an opportunity to spend a moment reflecting on a part of your story. Father, we pray that as powerfully as some of the disciples got to see you in your fullness when you revealed that, Father, I pray that in your way, and in the context that suits in our journeys, Father, that you may reveal yourself to the individuals in this room and to the people in our community who need to reconnect with you, who need to be convicted by the things you put in place for how your people function, to show and to feel that compassion that when the time is right, we can step out again. And Father, to show people that you are in control. No matter how much of the chaos that gets thrown in our face, on our news feeds and in our communities and in the tension of opinions and all of that stuff, Father, that you bring things into completion and you're a God who's about restoration, Father. And I pray that you can reveal yourself to us through your people, through your word, and in the way you see fit this year, Lord, that we might have an opportunity to reboot again, Father. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.